This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jurowski. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm okay.
Ben's column in the August 7th, 2008 edition of the Reader is called 3 Million Lawsuits Ought to Do It. And Ben and I are here today to talk about the rest of the story. Well, Ben, your article talks about a lawsuit which took place in Belleville, Illinois. And it looks like it could be a possible landmark lawsuit that allows citizens to challenge tax increment financing districts, because one of the premises of the tax increment financing state law is that it provides money for development in communities that would not otherwise attract development because they're blighted.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've been contending over the years in your articles about tax increment financing districts is that the city has been giving tax increment money to developments and to developers for properties that otherwise probably could be developed without that money.
Right.
So what I thought we'd talk about today is, let's take a look at some of those properties that have been awarded tax increment financing money. And for our listeners, if there are prospective sewers out there, I don't mean the thing that holds water, I mean the thing that holds cases.
Yeah.
These might be some of the properties they may want to consider taking the city to court on, like saying that these properties could have been developed without tax increment financing money.
Okay.
Let's take them by TIF district. Of course, all the TIF districts have names.
Right.
And one of them is called the Near North District. And you wrote about this one just a couple months ago.
Okay.
There is going to be a new dealership of Grossinger Auto Group, which is currently located at 1233 North Wells Street. It's one of four locations of Grossinger's auto dealerships. And they got a $8.5 million subsidy from the city through tax increment financing to build a new location at 1500 North Dayton.
Right.
I have a picture of it here.
Oh, my.
Used to be, I guess, a Home Depot home furnishings.
Yeah.
So not a bad-looking building. It's sitting kind of empty right now, but you could see that would make a nice little car dealership. Our listeners can see these photos via the MrRadio.org website at the Ben Jurowski Interviews description of this interview. I wasn't able to learn the annual revenues of Grossinger because they're privately held, apparently. But I'm wondering, what do you think about this one as one that is deserving of city funding?
That's an outrageous one. And I suppose if the word irony applies, the irony of this one is that this is located at the corner of, Clybourne and North Avenue, which is one of the most congested, overdeveloped corners of the north side. It's absolutely booming. It's the exact opposite of blight. It's overdevelopment. This is an area where developers are fighting to develop. They just tore down the new City Y, a wonderful YMCA. It was there for a long time on Halsted, right around the corner from this, and they're going to turn it into a shopping mall. Why in the world would a developer need a subsidy to build in an area where they're fighting to put developments up? The city would counter and say, well, this is a difficult building to fill up, so we wanted to find a use for it. My response to that is, you know what? It's not the end of the world if there's some vacancies in one building.
But why would the city care?
That it wasn't filled?
Yeah, as long as the property taxes are being paid on it.
Yeah, the city shouldn't, under ordinary circumstances, the city should not care about this building in this neighborhood. There are far more pressing economic development needs. There's whole neighborhoods that are falling apart that are really deserving and needing of our economic development dollar. In fact, this is so outrageous that developers called me to write about this. You know, developers usually give me a hard time. Ben, you're hard on the TIFs. You're not fair to the TIFs. You don't appreciate the good work that we do. But in this case, they were sending me email goes, you won't believe this one. You got to write about this one.
Even they were incredulous.
Even they were incredulous.
Well, let's go to another one that you've also written about, which is shown in a photo just below the one I've showed you. This one is in the, well, actually, it's not in the TIF. It's right next to the Central West TIF district, and it's the expansion of Rush University Medical Center. And this expansion is on the west side of Ashland between Harrison and Flournoy. And I checked the Rush University Medical Center's revenues. In 2007, they reported revenues of $1.64 billion. The subsidy is $75 million from TIFs.
Unbelievable. This is a classic case of way too much money going to sort of gild the lily here. The crucial point here, and I was at the meeting where this was approved by the CDC.
That's the Community Development Commission
that oversees the TIF program. The CEO, the leaders of Rush, were never asked to explain exactly why they needed so much money. It was merely just given to them based on an assertion, well, we need this money. So yeah, this would be another poster child for unnecessary funding.
And for our potential suing listeners, it might be a good one for them.
Well, you know, I don't know what the statute of limitation is.
We can see from the photo it's currently under construction.
Yeah, it's under construction.
Well, in the Bellevue case, the lawsuit involved a property that had already been finished.
That's correct.
So presumably the statute of limitations has some flexibility there.
But the suit was filed before the project was even started.
Oh.
And the suit's been kicking around for a couple of years.
Well, let's take one that development has not started. In the Canal Congress Tax Increment Financing District, we have Union Station. And here's a photo of Union Station. The plans for the Union Station redevelopment involve a 300-room hotel, some retail, and 200 condos. And it's being developed by a joint venture that includes Jones Lang LaSalle, whose 2007 revenues were reported as $2.7 billion. The TIF subsidy in this case is $59 million, and construction has not yet started. What do you think about this one, Ben?
I think this is a form of insanity that's taken over the city. The way the city throws around TIF money in the downtown defies all logic. There's development going on all the time downtown that's not subsidized by TIF. Every now and then a developer emerges with his hand out looking for money to fund something. He's never asked, well, why do you need this when your partner down the street is doing his without it? The overriding question with the Union Station is, what in the world are we gaining from this? Why, with all, again, the pressing needs that we have at the city of Chicago, are we putting at the top of the list adding 18 stories to the top of Union Station? There's no compelling need for condominiums in downtown. Furthermore, people are building condominiums all the time without subsidies. They're having trouble selling them. So why are we adding to the stockpile? Furthermore, this TIF district should have been abolished years ago. This area of the West Loop is booming. This is another poster boy. You're doing great. This is, what is this, 3 for 3 right here?
All right. Let's see if I can keep batting here. Let's go to one that's not residential.
Okay.
Let's take the same TIF district as Union Station. This one is also finished. This is the new headquarters of the USG Corporation, used to be known as US Gypsum, at 550 West Adams Street. And they relocated from 125 South Franklin. So they went from one part of the loop to another part of the loop. And USG Corporation's annual revenues were reported in 2007 as $5.2 billion. They got a $9.5 million subsidy for this, you know, nice glass tower here. Apparently, it's LEED certified as being very environmentally friendly. What do you think of this one?
This is a case, as you were alluding to, where, again, you're merely subsidizing one landlord to the detriment of another landlord. If you were going to do any kind of analysis of the overall effectiveness of the downtown TIF program, this would be a key point to study, and that is, what's the impact overall of moving a company from one end of the loop to the other? In other words, what vacancies do you fill when you move them to a building? What vacancies do you create when you move them out?
So you're saying that there may be a net loss, a net detriment, if you have more vacancies where you came out of.
Yes. And you're using tax dollars to give one landlord a benefit over another landlord.
Well, let's take just one more. And this is one of the TIF districts that you most love to hate. This is the Central Loop.
Central Loop.
The Central Loop TIF District. Yeah. And I have a picture of it here. It's 188 West Randolph Street. It's right across the street from the Allegro Hotel, right next to the L-Trax on Wells Street. And it is a redevelopment of this building to create what the developer is calling Randolph Tower City Apartments, which will be about 300 units. And I couldn't find revenue information about the developer, Village Green Companies, but they bill themselves as the Midwest's leading developer and manager of luxury apartment communities. And they were founded in 1919, and they currently operate approximately 30,000 units throughout the Midwest.
All right.
Village Green initially got $8 million in tax increment financing money in 2006, and then citing cost increases for construction in 2008, this year they got $12 million more for a total of $20 million in subsidy. Anything different about this one?
Just the fact that it has luxury in the title would argue against it being deserving of a program that's to eradicate blight. The larger point that you raised when you started about the Central Loop TIF, this is the oldest TIF in the city of Chicago. It should have expired last year, but instead, it looks as though, the mayor hasn't completely come out and said this, but it looks as though he's going to try to extend it for another 15 years. I think that there should be a huge fight against extending it. And that would be a great lawsuit to file, just to stop this lunacy of pretending that this central loop is still needing public subsidies to develop here.
Well, I think we've given our listeners plenty of initial legal advice here.
Yeah.
Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. Check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thank you for listening.